Good evening. It is Hanukkah, but it's also Parshas Miketz. And in Parshas Miketz, we have another dream that is interpreted by Yosef. So let's turn to a topic that is not often discussed, but certainly comes up every once in a while in conversation, and that is that of Hatavas Chalom, as Art Scroll likes to famously translate it, the amelioration of a dream. Probably the only time the word amelioration is used anywhere is the idea of making a dream good. And what is the source of this? How does this work? Obviously, before we begin, it goes without saying, we are working within the metaphysical world. Any suggestions or any ideas that are given about why it works is going to be on a spiritual level. There's certainly hard to argue that there's any natural connection between the process we're going to discuss and how the process works and the actual rectification of a problematic dream. What we have here in front of us is a Gemara in Brachos and Daf Nun Hey. Amud Beis, and the Gemara brings the Seder for someone who has a dream that is upsetting, and we'll look at it inside in a moment, but essentially he says that I saw a good dream, and they tell him that it's going to be a good dream, and Hashem will make it good, and they recite a series of psukim as well. There's a Tosus over here that we're not going to look at inside. Tosus has a discussion regarding how many times certain things are said, but that's not really so important for right now. And just regarding how dream, why this work, and why this is effective, Rav Kook has a lengthy piece in his Siddur Olas Ra'aya, in his Siddur on the section of the Hatavas Chalom, of why it works and why dreams are important. So if anyone wants to know more, they can look over there. But we're going to stick to the Halacha and not so much the Hashkafa. So let's look now at the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna Bar Ami, Amar Rav Pedas, Amar Rav Yochanan. They all said in the name of Rav Yochanan, Haroa Chalom, one who sees a dream. V'nafsho Aguma, and this is important, a dream in which causes a person to be upset. They're very bothered by the contents of the dream. Yelech v'yiftirin, they should go and explain the dream, so to speak. They should go and give a good portent to the dream, b'fnei shlosha, in front of three people. So the Gemara says, yiftirenu, is it possible to go in front of three people and take care of it? V'ha'amar rav chista, chalmadolo, v'ha'amar rav chista says, chalmadolo mefasher, a dream that is not interpreted is like a letter that has not been read, meaning it's not good or bad. So if that's the case, that if you don't pay attention to the dream, then why does it make a difference? Let the dream be good or bad, and don't do anything to it. Meaning, why go and touch the dream at all? Why poke it with a stick and bother it? So it doesn't mean you're going to interpret the dream, you're rather going to make the dream better. This is the language of Hatavas Chalom. It's possible to take the negativity of that dream and flip it into something positive. So bring three people and say to them, I saw a good thing. And these three people will say to him, it's good for that you saw it, and it's going to be good in the future. Rachman l'shav l'tav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it good. Shava zimnin, ligzru alecha ben shemayim z'lahave tava. Seven times from Shemayim, they should give you good things from the stream. V'have tava, and it will be good. They exchange this expression. So the Gemara then continues and says, v'leimru, and they add to him, shalosh hafuchos. They say three psukim that talks about turning things around from bad to good. V'shalosh b'diyos, three times the psukim talk about having a pigeon or redemption of some sort. V'shalosh shalomos, and three times you talk about shalom in the psukim. So the Gemara explains, shalosh hafuchos, what are the three psukim that talk about turning from bad to good? Hafachta misfidi the macholi, pitachta sakiva danrein simcha. Again, one type of turning around from bad to good. As tismach besula b'machol ubacharim usakenim yachtav. Hafachti avlam lesasan. I will turn their mourning into rejoicing. That is in Yirmiyahu. And finally, in the end of Dvarim, the Torah says v'lo ava Hashem alokecha lishmas bilam v'yafeich v'gomer. And it talks about how Kadosh Baruch Hu flipped Bilam's curse into something positive as well. Then the Gemara says, what are the shalosh b'diyos, the three psukim of redemption? Dechsiv, as it says, padah b'shalom nashim mikarav li. That's in Tehillim. The second pasuk is talking about b'fiduy Hashem yeshuva, and that those be redeemed and be brought back to Tzion. is also in Yeshayahu. And then finally, Vayomaram El Shaul Hayonasan Yamus Asher Asa HaYeshua. That, you know, how could we go and kill Yonasan? He was going, even Yishaul said the person who did A, B, and C is going to be killed. And it turned out it was Yonasan. And they came and they saved him and they redeemed Yonasan from the punishment of his father, as recorded in Shmuel Aleph. And finally, Shalosh Shalomos, the three psukim of good things of peace, Tichsiv, Bore Nivs Vasayim, Shalom Shalom Rachoku, Lekarov Amar Hashem Rufu Aso, that there will be peace coming to a person. The second pasuk, Veruach Lovshi Asamshai, that there will be a type of a good spirit coming over over the bed. And then the last passing in Devar Yamim, V'yamartim kol lechai, V'yasa shalom, V'yasecha shalom, will be peace for you, on and on. So we give proper brachos and say nice things to the person who experienced this idea. So this is all cited lahalacha. This Gemara seems to be, without question, it's cited lahalacha by the Rush in the end of Masachas Brachos, and the Kolbo, and Simen Lama, the Tor, the Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Reish Chaf. And that's where the main discussion is going to be, in the Shulchan Aruch and Arachayim, in Simen 220. On the other hand, the Rif and the Rambam don't make any mention of this process at all, or this Seder. Now, the Rif does cite what we'll discuss at the end of the Shir, which is the Hatavas Chol we say in Birchas Kohanim. The Rif does bring that, which is a later part of this Gemara as well, but the Rambam doesn't mention any of this at all. The Rambam has no mention anywhere in any of his writings of the Seder of Hatavas Chol, of making a bad dream good. So I saw in a number of Sfarim that they wanted to say that perhaps it has to do with the fact that this is maybe an Eitz HaTovah. The Gemara is giving good advice, it's not halacha, and therefore that's why we want to say the Rambam doesn't bring it.
So the Rambam said Eitz HaTovah for that time period. Now the modern 1,000-year medicine is not like they believe back then.
True, so again,
system of the Rambam. I mean,
but it's not a medicinal thing here, it's a spiritual thing.
We're interpreting spiritual.
You might say
as if it's
curative. Good. It could
psychology.
I hear it's not. It's not clear.
The Rambam knew about the Gemara. That's for sure.
So that's what the Yad HaMelech says, that the Rambam doesn't bring this because in Eitz HaTov. The Arizal on the Priyetz Chaim has a slightly modified version. The Siddurim that we have that bring it generally follow the modified version of the Arizal. The Gemara says that if a person is bothered by a dream, he interprets in front of three people. The Rush, when he brings this, says that it should be three beloved people. The Gemara says people. The Rush has three ahuvim, three people that are beloved to you. And the Madna Yantif on the Rush says that even though this isn't in the Gemara, it's a logical svara. If you want someone who's going to give you good portents, who's going to, you know, guide you into positive things, it should be three people who are beloved to you. And the Yafal Lev says that the Rush had this perhaps in his version of the Gemara, and that's why he brings it as well. The Chuvas HaNagos and Chelek Beis, Simen Reish Vav, Rav Shurmbach cites Rav, the Brisker Rav, who is makbid that they be three friends. The Brisker Rav held to this very strongly, and Rav Shurmbach suggests, he has a very fancy svara, he wants to say ahuvim means three friends to exclude three relatives. That's what the Rush is trying to say, because the three people are forming a basin, so to speak. And Rabbi Kiva Eger writes in Hilchos Nedarim and Shulchan Aruch that the person who made the neder, who wants to be a matanetter, can be related to the people who are doing Ataras Nadar in the basin, but the basin can't be related to each other. I mean, you can't have three siblings be on the Taras Nadar in the basin themselves, but they can be related to the person who's asking to be master debtor. So maybe in this case, we're forming some sort of a basin, so to speak, but then Rav Shurmbach rejects this because the Brisker Rav would do Hatava Shalom quite often, and the Brisker Rav would use his three sons to do it. So he says it's a nice svara, but at the end of the day, the Brisker Rav used his three sons together when he did have a skull. There's a very interesting story. There's a funny story in Nevesh HaRav that Rav Shasser brings from Rabbi Salvechik. Rabbi Salvechik said that there was a balabas in Boston one time when they were doing Ataras Nedarim on Rosh Hashanah, and he told Rabbi Salvechik that he always thought that Hatava Shalom was part of Ataras Nedarim, because in the old Siddurim, there was Ataras Nedarim, and then right after was Ataras Chalom, and the Baal HaBas had no idea what was going on in Ataras Nedarim. He had no idea what the Hebrew was. So he just thought it was one long thing. So he thought there was an Inyan every year of Rosh Hashanah to do Ataras Chalom to get rid of bad dreams, because he had no understanding of what was going on. But we, Baruch Hashem, understand, and we understand that it is not connected to Rosh Hashanah in any specific way. The Magen Avraham here in Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah say that you should be thinking of the dream when undergoing this process. The Beis Yosef cites the Kolbo, who says that after completing the Hatavas Chalom, the friends say to the dreamer, this pasuk in Koheles in Perek Tes, Leich echol b'simcha lachmecha, who should say, belev tov einecha, go and eat your bread with a good heart and drink your wine with goodness, ki chava ratza elokim es masacha, because Hashem desires your actions. And the Kolbo cites the Maharam, citing Rav Yehuda HaChassid, who says not to say this pasuk because the Rosh HaTevos echol besimcha lachmecha are the Rosh HaTevos of Avel, mourning. And therefore he says it's not a good thing to say this for whatever reason. And this is cited by the Magen Avraham Eliyarabba. But the Chida writes in the Birka Yosef, citing the Ma'arit Samach, who says that we should say the Pasuk, because the rest of the Pasuk, what does the rest of the Pasuk say? That a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to turn your Avel into Simcha, and the Sofei Tevos of Leich Echol B'Simcha are Kala, of a bride. So you could play this game all day. It equals good, it equals bad. And therefore, says the Chida, certainly go and say the Pasuk. It's a proper bracha, right? The person who is nervous over his dream, and you say, go, eat, be merry, be happy. Good things will happen to you. No reason to be nervous for the rest of the day. And this is what the Shari Tshuva says, the Kaf HaChaim says, the Minigus to say the Pasuk in the proper order. The Ches HaLafim says that the Arizal would change the order of the Pasuk to say, Leich B'Simcha, Echol Lachmecha, so that it wouldn't have the Rosh HaTevos of Avel. So you get the same idea, but not the spooky stuff from Rav Yehuda HaChassid.
Anybody say this after Yom Kippur?
That's how it's called after Yom Kippur?
No, not that pasuk.
Not that I know of.
Oh, okay.
No, but actually we'll get to fasting in this pasuk in a second.
Okay.
So what types of dreams are we talking about? So we said any bad dream? It's a little bad dream? How do you measure? So the Drisha here writes in the tour that it has to be V'nafsho Aguma Alav. It is a dream that you are bothered by, you are concerned about. The person has a dream and it is rubbing him the wrong way the rest of the day. It's something that's making him uncomfortable. This is the type of dream we're talking about. And this is what the Mishnah Berurah says. In addition, even if you fast for a bad dream, it's proper to form Hatavas Chalom as well. Meaning, Hatavas Chalom and fasting for the dream. Fasting for a dream is another sugya we're not going to talk about today. But if you're going to fast for the dream, you still do Hatavas Chalom. But look here in the Aruch HaShulchan in Reish Chaf Sifdal. Just very insightful words from Rabbi Chiel Michal Epstein. He says, Kolomar de Yoser Tov Shiyargil Ha'adam Es Atzmo Lubli Lahabit Es Chalamos Kirugam Ein Behamamish. The best practice is not to be so concerned with dreams. Kidichsev Kiva HaChalom Barov Inyan, because dreams contain all types of information. Rashi says, Kiderach HaChalom Lavo Barov Hirhurim Shemayin Umahar Bayom, because the nature of dreams is to go over the events that occurred during the day. And therefore, not necessarily every single thing that happens in the dream is telling you about something that may happen in the future. The most important thing is to fear Hashem. Don't worry about dreams. And it compares dreams to silly things. The most important thing is to have Yiras Hashem, says the Aruch HaShulchan. And don't be scared of dreams. What we're talking about is once in a while. If the guy's walking into shul every single week and saying, another Hatavas Chalom, another one this week, then the guy's got to give it a rest. We're talking about, this, Hatavas Chalom is something that should be done rarely. It is not something that a person should be doing actively on a regularly scheduled basis. Then the person should probably see a psychologist or a therapist in some way to deal with his dream issues. The idea that a person is doing this all the time is not in the spirit. You don't have to give so much credence to the dreams, but every once in a while it happens that a person has a dream that shakes them the wrong way. It gives them a very bad feeling. They can't get over it. And this is the Seder that we're talking about. This is what we're dealing with tonight. When should it be done? Do you have all the time in the world? Can you do it next week, the day of, 2 days later? So the Magen Avraham says that you perform a Tavas Chalom after Shachris, then you shouldn't say Leich Echol B'Simcha Lachmecha, because the person will be fasting. Okay, and it's not appropriate to tell him, go eat your bread, if he should be fasting the rest of the day. He then cites the Shla, who says it's best to do the Tavas Chalom at Shachris, because this will help the tefillah be accepted along with the fasting. It's kind of like setting off the fast for the bad dream on a good foot. And the Aruch HaShulchan says that the Tavas Chalom should be done at Shachris as well. And the Kaf HaChaim says, according to the Mekubalim, the first half of the day has more rachamim, and therefore, the best time of the day to do Tavas Chalom is in the morning. The Drisha says that some do it after Marav, but he rejects this and says it's best to do it after Seis HaChachavim. But at the end of the day, most poskim say Hatavas Chalom is made for the morning. That's the best time. Many Achronim, including the Prima Gadim and the Shabura, say that if you're fasting, then you should say it at the end of the fast. Why? So they can wish you the bracha of Leich Echol B'Simcha Lachmecha. Meaning you fast the day, and then they give you this bracha to go eat in simcha and rejoice, and that is the proper way to end the day. So these are the two approaches. And if you're not fasting, it should be done in the morning, because Zrizin Makdimin L'mitzvah, says the Mishnah Berurah, which seems to imply the Mishnah Berurah holds that this is a mitzvah to do Hatavas Chalom. I don't know exactly what mitzvah it is.
Even if it's not a mitzvah, you would do it. You know, something happens, you want to
take care of it as soon as possible. True, that would definitely be a third reason.
Even if it's a matir, I'm not using the right term. But
right, you're saying even if it's an Eitz HaTovah, you probably want to do it as soon as possible. I hear. So the third reason is to do it in the morning. But I thought it was funny the Mishnah uses the expression Zrizin Makdimin, because that's something we usually apply to the principle of a mitzvah. So. But this is how the Mishnah Berurah views it. Everyone agrees it should be done on the day after the dream. Not every kuli amal pligi, morning or night, whatever it is, it should be done the morning after the dream, the day after the dream, and it should not be postponed until later time. The Machsis HaShekel says it should be done on that day, but if it can't, it should still be performed at some point because it helps a little. It's not as effective as it would have been on the day of the dream, but it still gives you something. And this is against the Yafalaleh, who says it's like a tainus chalom. The fasting for a dream is not effective unless it's on the day of the dream. But however, that's not the minhag. You could do a Tavos Chalom another time, but better to do it on the day of. The Kaf HaChaim says you should understand the Tavos Chalom, the language of what you're saying. And if you don't understand the Aramaic and the Hebrew, then do the Tavos Chalom in English as well. Okay, let's discuss the people who are involved in doing a Tavos Chalom. I think there's actually a beautiful idea in Midos that we find here in a comment in the Machsis HaShekel. The Eliyarabi says that it's a mitzvah of Gemilus Chasadim to go be amongst the people who have Tavos Chalom for someone who is in need of it. And this is cited by the Machsis HaShekel. And the Machsis HaShekel here says, I'm not going to read it inside, but because he expands a little bit more than I want to, he elaborates and he says, it's a mitzvah ase min haTorah mamish. You're fulfilling a Torah commandment because it's like Hashavas Haveda, because you're returning a person's nefesh, you're giving the person Yishuv Hadas. A person is upset and you're helping out a fellow Jew, and participating in a Tavos Chalom prevents Lo Samar Adam Rayacha. If the person is upset, you have a sea of Jews in pain, and this is cited by the Mishnah Berurah. Then Pesach HaDvir says that he thinks the Machsis HaShekel went a little bit far in his description of how important it is. But just to pull out from here, we see this idea here, specifically here, that you may not think that a Tavos Chalom is a particularly important thing to do. You may think that it's not such a big deal. But if you see another Jew who comes to you and is in pain and wants to deal with it, then that's a mitzvah of chesed. To take it seriously for him, to be concerned for his emotional well-being, is certainly something you should take seriously and give it the time that it deserves if someone comes to you asking for your help. The Orchas Rabbeinu Chela Gimel relates that Chazanish did not pay attention to dreams and personally did not even recite the Ribbono Sha'olam that we say by Berachas Kohanim. But however, when others would express their difficulty and their pain over a dream to the Chazanish, he would tell them to go do the Tavos Chalom. So the Chazanish himself might not have seen the importance in it or might have seen the aspect of highlighting it so much. But when other people were in pain, he saw that this was a good way to make them feel better. The Magen Avraham cites the Seder Birchas LeMaharam, who says that if you're only able to get two people, you should do it with the two people and then find a third person. This Magen Avraham is a bit confusing. Nobody really understands what he's talking about. Why would it work with two and then a third person later? Why not just wait for a third person? Why do two people work? The Magen Avraham has a lot of literature about it, but we're not going to get into it so much. The Aruch HaShulchan says that there was a minhag to go before the Rav Ha'ir to go and do this. That was the old minhag, to go before the rabbi of the city. The Kaf HaChaim says it isn't effective without three people. These are different minhagim as well. The Kaf HaChaim says, L'chadchila, it should be done with three people over the age of bar mitzvah. You should not choose children to do it, because there is some aspect of a basin, as we discussed before. It's better to do with three Talmidei Chachamim, if you can get such people. And if you can't find three people over the age of bar mitzvah, you can use a katan for a Tavos Chalom if they understand what's going on. Don't take a three-year-old, take a 10-year-old who might understand the seder of what's going on at this point. Can you do a Tavos Chalom on Shabbos? So the Eliyarabi cites the Shlah, who says that you can, because it's a form of pikuach nefesh, so to speak. The person is upset, and even though you're asking for...
If you can fast on Shabbos, why...
So that's the things they want to say as well. They want to say, if I can fast, then certainly I can do this as well. So if I can...
The halacha is a bit more direct Easter.
For sure. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Reish Pei Ches in the Chol Shabbos that you can fast on Shabbos if you have a bad dream Friday night. So here they say as well, we can be lenient, and this is what the Mishnah Berurah cites the halacha. Let's turn now to the second thing of Hatavas Chalom. Even if people don't do a Hatavas Chalom as we describe until this point, many people say the Ribono Shel Olam during Birchas Kohanim. So where is that? This is also on the same daf in the Gemara in Brachos, and says there's a type of Hatavas Chalom that's recited during the blessing of the Kohanim, and this is cited by the Rif and the Rush as well in Brachos. The Gemara says this is recited in a different type of case. The Rif elaborates and says, and this is what the Maharsha says as well, is that the Hatavas Chalom that is done by Birchas Kohanim is not for a bad dream. It's for if I don't remember the dream. If I don't remember if it is good or bad. It's a different type of Hatavas Chalom. The Hatavas Chalom that's in the Siddurim that we spoke about until this point is if I know I had a bad dream and it's bothering me. The Hatavas Chalom that's done by Birchas Kohanim is if I don't remember exactly what the dream was. I wasn't sure if it was bad or good. There was something off about it. I'm not sure. The Rif, the Maharsha, most of the Rishonim say this is the goal of the Hatavas Chalom by Birchas Kohanim as well. The Beis Yosef in Kuf Lamed, which is this is brought lahalacha in Orachayim and Simon Kuf Lamed by the laws of Birchas Kohanim, says why by Birchas Kohanim? Because this is an Eis Ratzon, a time that is very effective for tefillah, and therefore it's a good time to use it. The Meiri says because you're really supposed to time the Ribono Shel Olam with the Chazan saying Sim Shalom after Birchas Kohanim, and you're supposed to finish it right before the Chazan says Sim Shalom. What's the one amen during davening that most people pay attention to? It's the amen at the end. Sorry, you're supposed to time it with the. Sorry, the Miri says you're supposed to time it with the end of the last of the third part of Birchas Kohanim. What's the amen that most people pay attention to? It's the amen of Birchas Kohanim. People have kavana, they're focused in, they've been waiting all year for this, Shal Shergalim, and therefore you time it with when everybody else says amen, so it's as if they're saying amen to your personal Ribono Shel Olam Tfila by Birchas Kohanim.
It's implicit that you're saying that they didn't do, we just do on Yom Tov, in Ron, they do in Israel, do it every Tfila.
Yeah, so we'll discuss every day versus Shal Shergal. The Taz and the Magen Avraham say that you shouldn't say the Ribono Shel Olam every single day.
So that's why they don't do it there today.
So this is the understanding of all the poskim as well. So it's not entirely clear when that means for, if it's not every day, then when do you do it? So we do say it on Yantif for dreams we had until that point. Yantif, the Shal Shergarim are like a clearinghouse for bad dreams. You say it on Shal Shergalim, and that takes care of any dream that might have happened up until that point. And the Ribono Shel Olam doesn't. We don't do it on Shabbos and Yantif.
Which is what?
So it's not clear why we don't do it on Shabbos and Yantif. The Netziv has a tshuva in the Meshiv Davar and Chelek Aleph and some in Mem Zayin, where he has a whole fancy pilpul as to why we would do it on Yantif and not do it on Shabbos and falls on Yantif. He has a fancy explanation.
Because the same shower we had before, if we do at Tavis Shalom.
Yeah, correct. He has a whole explanation that we're not going to get into right now. The Pri Chadash cites Tosis and Sota, who says that you can say it on Shabbos after having a dream on Leil Shabbos. And if you had a bad dream Friday night, then you can say the Ribono Shel Olam, because the same reason as before, you can do it on Shabbos. And this seems to imply it should be said on the day of the dream. Or why wouldn't Tosfos tell you to say it on Sunday, the next day? The Taras Zekanim says you can say a Ribono Shel Olam if you didn't dream that night, but you should skip the words Chalom Chalamti. So all different types of explanations. Generally, we just say it by the Shal Shogalim, and we don't say it any other time besides that. The Machatz HaShekel says that if it's Yom Tov Sheni, and you don't remember the dream from last night, then you shouldn't say Ribono Shel Olam because you said it yesterday on the first day. But the Bir Halacha says, this is not the minhag, we say the Ribono Shel Olam on all days of Yom Tov, not just Yom Tov Rishon, but Yom Tov Sheni as well. Last point, the Magen Avraham writes in Siman Kuf Chav Ches, the Tshuvas HaGaonim says that we don't say Ribono Shel Olam on Shabbos. And this is even for Bnei Ashkenaz and Chutz La'aretz who only say it on Yom Tov. They still don't have to say it on Shabbos that falls on Yom Tov. However, if a person had a bad dream the night before that was disturbing enough that they would have fasted, then you would say it on Yom Tov that falls on Shabbos during Birchas Kohanim. And Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the Gros Moshe or Chaim Chele Gimel in Siman Yud Ches that we never say it on Yom Kippur Shechal B'Shabbos. That's what Rav Moshe says. Yom Kippur that falls on Shabbos, we never say it, because the entire day is Bakashos V'Tachnunim. The whole day is requests from Hashem. And what don't we say in Yom Kippur that falls on Shabbos? Avinu Malkeinu. So if I don't say Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbos that falls in Yom Kippur, then certainly I wouldn't throw in this Ribbono Shel Olam as well. Because the whole day of Yom Kippur is dedicated to asking Hashem for things.
You have to count it because you say that we don't do a lot of things on the normal day except for the times we don't fast, I fast Yom Kippur. But all the things we treat, and Yom Kippur is not more than Shabbos in this respect, and we do everything.
So he says there's no reason to say it because it's the whole day is for asking for rachamim, and we don't say Avinu Malkeinu, so then why would we say this, he says. Okay, two more points. The Darkei Moshe cites Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos, who says that the Birchas Kohanim is not being said, and the Shatz is saying Elokeinu Elokei Eloseinu Barcheinu Barbracha Mishuvashas, meaning as we say here in Chutz La'aretz, and you want to say the Baruch Sha'olam, right? You had a bad dream last night. There's no Birchas Kohanim here in Chutz La'aretz, unfortunately. So then, what are you supposed to do? So I want to say the Baruch Sha'olam, but the Chazans are just saying the fake version of Birchas Kohanim. So what am I supposed to do? So the Darkei Moshe says, you say it with the Shatz during Sim Shalom, and that's a good place to say it as well. And the Ramah brings this to Halach and Shulchan Aruch. The Levush says it should be said not during Sim Shalom, but during the fake Birchas Kohanim, and this is the opinion of the Magen Avraham, and the Zohar, who says you shouldn't say it during Sim Shalom as well. So if Machlokes is opposed, if it comes up.
Would the Zohar say do it during Birchas Kohanim?
The Zohar says to...
Because the Rizal, unlike us, yeah. he says to say, we say, Kain Ritzon, when we don't have real Birchas Kohanim.
Yeah.
The reason Minhag is that you say Amen when the Chazan does it.
So correct.
He treats the Birchas Kohanim we don't have real Birchas Kohanim. He treats it more real than we do.
Correct. So I'm not sure what he would say in this case. So this is the Halachos of Hatava Skalom. Up until this point, that's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch. We just learned a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch. It's very short. It's siman Reish Chaf 220. So now we know all the halachos of where it comes up. Hopefully, we should all have good dreams and not have bad dreams from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And hope maybe another time, Mirza Hashem in the future will return to siman Reish Peches in Hilchos Shabbos that talks about fasting for dreams and fasting on Shabbos and those halachos as well. Okay.